You are listening to BensTorah.com.
There's a pasuk in Parshas Emor which says explicitly, "Usfatan lechem machves haShabbos," that you should start counting from the 16th of Chodesh Nisan, the day after the actual night of Pesach when we have the Haggadah, but on the 16th, the day afterwards, we have to count from that day. It was a special carbon called the carbon omer that had to be brought when the Beis Hamikdash was existent. This was the first brand new tefillah of the crops of that year that were harvested, the barley crops. And from these barley crops, they had to bring a special carbon to the Beis Hamikdash, a carbon mincha. And then it says in the same pasuk, Sheva Shabbos is Tamimus Tiyana. You should count a period, not only of days, but you should also count 7 perfect weeks. Ad Mimofras HaShabbos HaShviyas, until the day after the 7th week. I'm putting this now on mute, so we shouldn't have any background music. Okay? So we basically speaking are going to be counting 49 days, 7 full weeks, and ultimately speaking, on the 50th day, Chamishim Yom, Hakrafta Mechadosh LaHashem, that will be the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And in fact, you're going to bring a special Mincha Chadosh and a special Karbon Mincha on that day as well to the Beis Hamikdash as part of the Avodah you do on the Yom Tov of Shavuos itself. So the way the Torah constructed this mitzvah Sfiras Omer, it is bounded on both sides as a Yom Tov. It starts on the second day of the Yom Tov of Pesach, and it finishes the day right before the Yom Tov of Shavuos takes place. So therefore, when the Beis HaMikdash was in existence, and the Sanhedrin HaGadol used to, based upon witnesses, determine the months of the year, when Rosh Chodesh is and everything else, what is fascinating is that when it came to the Yom Tov of Pesach, there were Edom that had to come to tell when the Rosh Chodesh Nisan took place. But once we knew when Rosh Chodesh Nisan took place, and we knew on the 15th day of Chodesh Nisan is the Yom Tov of Pesach, we automatically knew that on the next day, the 60th day, the Karbon Omer was brought. We then automatically knew that since you're counting now, from that day, 16th, 49 days, you automatically knew when the Yom Tov Shavuos is going to take place in Chodesh Sivan, because it's 50 days after the counting of 49 days of the Sfira. So that's a historical note based upon the actual Pesukim and the Chumash that describe the beginning and end of this Mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer. We count there for 49 days. We also count in actuality 7 weeks as well, is the fact that special pasuk that emphasizes the 7 weeks, which is a pasuk in Parshas Behar, which talks about the concept of, actually, the pasuk says the following, it's in Re'e, Sheva Shuas Tispelach Mochel Chemesh Bekama, Tachel Lisper Sheva Shuas, Vasisa Chag Shuas Shem Elokecha, is called Chag Shuas because it comes after counting 7 weeks before the Yom Tov Shavuos. So this is the Chag that celebrates the counting of 7 weeks beforehand. So we have quite obviously a mitzvah to count the days, count the weeks, and that's exactly what we're doing now up until the 7th day of the Omer. We're only counting days, there are no weeks yet. But once it's day 7 all the way on to 49, from that point on you count the days, then count the weeks, as we're doing now at this specific point in time. Last night was the 12th, so we counted 1 week and 5 more days. It's basically the 12th of the counting of the Sfira. That's the way the mitzvah goes, and according to most Rishonim, the Rambam amongst them, the mitzvah counting days and weeks are 2 parts of the same exact mitzvah. Now, what I want to point out today is a very interesting historical phenomenon. The mitzvah counting Sfiras HaOmer only comes 1 time during the year. We don't count Sfira the rest of the year. And therefore, in the world of mitzvahs, when you have a mitzvah that's done only periodically from time to time, that is called, in the world of halacha, a mitzvah, seishas mangrela, a mitzvah that's performed based upon specific time frames. We have a principle, the Gemara says in Masechtas Kedushin, that most mitzvahs that are based upon specific time frames during the year, but are not continually performed every day of the year, but they take place from time to time, most of the time, men are chayiv in these mitzvahs, and women are normally pater, they're exempt from performing time-oriented mitzvahs, mitzvah cessations in mind grama. Even though women are exempt from it, there are many Zman Grama mitzvahs that many women over the generations, thousands of years, accepted upon themselves to perform these mitzvahs they're exempt from as an option, not a halachic obligation. And in fact, Chazal tell us, when a woman performs a mitzvah in HaTorah that she is exempt from, not only did she do an actual physical mitzvah performance in what she did, but she gets special schar as the Eina Mitzvah Isa for having done this mitzvah. The same man gets schar for doing the mitzvah as a mechliv in the mitzvah. She gets special schar as the Eina Mitzvah for doing it as a halachic option. So there's substance of women doing mitzvahs that pater from. They get schar and shemayin for doing it. But what's interesting to note, not every mitzvah seisha zman grama that men are chayiv and women are pater to, did women only accept upon themselves as the rishus, as an option to perform. Some of the mitzvahs that women accepted upon themselves to do as an option is the mitzvah of hearing the shofar that they should theoretically have been pater from, it's a zman grama. The mitzvah sitting in the sukkah that the zman grama mitzvah and ellis women are meticulous, if they can't, to sit in the sukkah together with their husbands and their sons, etc., etc., and their daughters. The mitzvah, for instance, of taking the dalet minim, that we have the luv and esrog on sukkahs, is a zman grama mitzvah, and nevertheless, most women are meticulous to perform this mitzvah during the yom tov of sukkahs as well. Believe it or not, the mitzvah of kriya shema is a zman grama mitzvah, and as a result of that, women are technically pater for the entire Kriya Shema. The only part of Kriya Shema that they're chayiv to do is to say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. But the reason for that is because that's the concept of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. And everybody in Klal Yisrael, 24/7, have to continuously accept upon themselves Ol Malchus Shemayim. So that part of Shema, everybody has to do, because it's not Zman Grama. But once women started saying that first pasuk, they then willingly accept upon themselves each and every day to recite the entire Kriya Shema as well as another Zman Grama mitzvah they accepted upon themselves. There's a big debate whether women are chayav to daven three Shemana Esrays or two Shemana Esrays each and every day, because it's a Zman Grama, a machlokus amongst the Rishonim and the poskim, how we paskin this. Mishabura happens to paskin at the end of the day that the tefillah of Shachris and Mincha, women should pray each and every day. Maariv it technically is them from. So this is another Zman Grama mitzvah, because of the power of tefillah, women have willingly accepted upon themselves, and some women did not. They don't have a full Shemana Esrays each and every day. But I'm not getting into that topic today. But what I want to mention is that Sfiris HaOmer is another classical example of a mitzvah seisha zman grama, a time-oriented mitzvah. It only comes once a year in the period between Pesach and Shavuos. And we have an historical note mentioned by the Magen Avraham in his Perush to Shulchan Aruch, and the halach is a Sfiris HaOmer, that in the generations he lived, we're talking about the 1500s or the 1600s, the Noshim Sikonios accepted upon themselves the responsibility of counting Sfira from Pesach to Shavuos, like the male counterparts. As another Zman Grama mitzvah, women willingly accepted upon themselves to do as a sign of connection and love of Hashem and a love of mitzvahs, They were meticulous to count spheres on as well. There was a period of time that in hundreds and hundreds of years afterwards, many women did not count the sphere anymore. Many of them felt they couldn't keep the cheshbon, and therefore they didn't want to perhaps make brachas that were inappropriate. So what happened was is that there was a hiatus in which a period of time many women did not count sphere anymore. But with the development of Sarish Nira and the development of Beis Yaakov, and girls now becoming tremendous Tamidei Chachamos, learning Torah, learning Halacha, and realize the importance of a lot of the mitzvahs, even that they're exempt from, many Noshim Sidkanias today have reaccepted upon themselves, like the Noshim Sidkanias of the Magna Rome's period, to count Sfiras Omer meticulously each and every night with a bracha. And that is the meaning that we have Baruch Hashem today. Mine, the Sheikh Chaim, Baruch Hashem. My late wife, my current wife, both have become upon themselves to count Sfira meticulously each and every night. And I know a lot of my friends, Rebbetzins, my friends' wives, are meticulous based upon their Torah education to do such. So what I want to discuss today is why your Sfiras Omer is so important and so unique, that Noshim Sidkanios, very pious women throughout the generations, felt they wanted to count Sfira together with their menfolk, even though technically they're exempt. Now, sitting in a sukkah, taking the dalet minim, hearing the shofar saying Kriya Shema, it's a little more understandable why women wanted to do these even though they're exempt, because what's Rosh Hashanah without hearing the shofar? And what sukkahs without sitting in a sukkah and taking the dalet minim? And what's Kabbalah's Olmah for Shemayim by just saying the first pasuk of Shema without saying the whole Kriya Shema? And davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, multiple tefillahs during the day. All of these we can understand without too much difficulty why Noshim Sidkanias, even though they might have been technically exempt, accepted upon themselves to do these types of mitzvahs. But my question now is, what's so important counting the days between Pesach and Shavuos? They count 49 days. So you know when the counting begins and the end of the counting, we know in Shavuos is going to be a Matan Torah. Why is it that Noshim felt the impetus and the desire to religiously bekavel upon themselves to count Sfiras Omer? What does Sfiras Omer represent hashkafically, halachically, theologically, that made this an important mitzvah in their eyes? So listen carefully as I give an explanation now. Hopefully those of you who are counting will appreciate why Noshim Sidkanios, as well as men, are very concerned in counting Sfiras Omer. Why, that's the minute we see today, very, very, very broadly based throughout the world. Men are chayiv to do it. Women are doing this as an option, but they accepted this upon themselves. And in actuality, counting days, counting weeks, you know, what are we doing over here? What is really the purpose behind this mitzvah, the Tam HaMitzvah? So listen very carefully as I go into an in-depth discussion on this, and you'll find out very shortly what the answer to this question is. I want to start with a very interesting Haggadah, a very Haggadic message that we're taught by one of the great Rishonim of the Spanish Rishonim. His name was Rabbeinu Nissim. He's found in the back of most Gemaras in his parish on the Rif at the end of each and every Shas Gemara that has the Rif as the halachic commentary in Posek at the end of the Gemara text. What Rabbeinu Nissim says is a very interesting historical narrative and a very interesting historical point. Listen very carefully. We know for a fact that when Moshe Rabbeinu was picked to be the emissary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to redeem the Jewish people from Eretz Mitzrayim. And Moshe was a little hesitant initially to accept this responsibility upon his soul shoulders, but he did this nevertheless. The Ribbono Shel Olam said to Moshe, "You're concerned if people will believe that you are my actual emissary or not. You want me to give you some sign, some proof that you are the person I picked to be their emissary, to be the mediator between me and Klal Yisrael, the source of communication between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam in both directions, to be their spiritual leader, to be the one who's mekabel Torah HaSinai, and you give over my Torah, Kol HaTorah Kol, to Klal Yisrael. What's going to be the ultimate proof of this?" So the pasuk says in Pasha Shmos, "Zelef ha'os kenoch ishlechticha." The ultimate proof and sign that I sent you to be my emissary to redeem the Jewish people will be made in the following way. Potziach ha'am Mitzrayim, when you succeed to have the Jews exit from the Egyptian Empire, you know what's going to happen? Tavdum es Elokim al Harazet. You're going to take a journey, and you're going to come back to Har Sinai, where I'm speaking to you now, from the Snev, from that fiery bush that Moshe saw. And on this mountain, where the fiery bush is, Hashem is going to appear on that mountain. You're going to do an Avedis Hashem to Hashem, standing around the mountain as Hashem speaks to you on this har. At that point in time, Hashem will make his voice able to be heard, not only by Moshe as his best and most powerful Navi, but he's going to give Klal Yisrael Matana at that time to momentarily be able to hear his voice as well, and to hear him mention the Aseres Adibros to them personally. He's going to hear Hashem talking to Moshe and having a discussion and telling Moshe what commands he wants him to give over and explain to the Jewish people. At that point in time, they will realize that Moshe said he was Hashem's emissary on every area I mentioned before, not only their Hatzalah and their exodus from Egypt, but he's their savior. He's their Malamed. Torah Sivulana Moshe, Moshe Kilas Yaakov. He's the one who gave us all of the Torah. When they hear Hashem addressing Moshe and giving him the mandate to do all of this at Har Sinai, and they'll have the prophetic ear capacity to hear this discussion, the Torah says, Ubecha Yaminu La'olam. Our belief that Moshe is MS, and Taras MS, Moshe is the truthful emissary, and the Torah he teach us is the only Torah that God gave to mankind in the world at large. Any other Torah that's claimed to be given by some other entity is Shekian V'chazav. That will be verified, and everything Moshe did for them will be verified by the Har Sinai experience, which is the culmination of all the miracles they saw in Yetzias Mitzrayim, the miracles they saw by Kriyas Yamsuf, the miracles of the Man, the Beramayim, and then the cover they saw in the Midbar. That will culminate with Maimed Har Sinai, and therefore Ubecha Yamin Olam, the whole world of Klal Yisrael, from that generation to the end of time, will believe that Moshe Emes v'Tenos Emes. Now, with this information being given to Klal Yisrael before the evil left Egypt, the Ran brings the following Agadita. When they left Egypt on the day of the 15th, remember they ate the Korban Pesach on the night of the 15th, Makas Bechoros was at Chatzos, Hashem wanted them not to leave in the middle of the night as Paro wanted them. Hashem wanted them to parade out of Mitzrayim as a free people, as aristocrats, taking gold and silver and walking out in a parade, B'Simcha Gedola, in front of the entire Egyptian empire, the king, the army, the masses of people, that Hashem wanted the whole world, besides the Egyptian kingdom, to see this happening, and nobody capable of stopping this event from taking place. Etzem HaYom HaZeh. They left, therefore, on the 15th of Chodesh Nisan. As soon as Jews left, we Jews are sometimes very impatient. So the Haggadah says, the heads of Klal Yisrael came to Moshe, said to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, you told us that when we leave Egypt, we're going to worship God on God's holy divine mountain in the Midbar. When is that going to take place? How quickly are we going to experience it? So Moshe answered them on behalf of Hashem, this is what you got to do. I can't hand out calendars, but I'm going to give you a way of counting. Today is day 15. I want you to count a total now of 49 days from now, which means from the 16th on, 49 full days, and on day number 50 afterwards, that's when the actual Kabbalah Satoru will take place. That's when you'll be Oved Elokim al Har Hazeh, and that's what Klal Yisrael did in calendar dating to figure out when they're coming to Har Sinai. They started to count on day number 16, the day after they left Mitzrayim, 49 days, and they knew that the day afterwards, standing at the foot of Har Sinai, be Mekabel the Torah would take place. In fact, the Mefarshim point out, if you look in the word Tavdun written in the Torah, it's in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis in Sefer, and Pasha Shemos. It could have been written, but it says, I'm a Mitzrayim, Tavdu without the Nun Sofis, and it would mean the same thing. Why was the Nun added onto the Tavdu to make a Tavdun? Because Nun in Gematria is the number of how much? 50. To tell them that in 50 days, from the time of your counting tomorrow on, you'll be worshiping God at the mountain I'm talking about at that specific historical period in time. So says the Ran, what do we see? We see that the first counting that Klal Yisrael ever did, believe it or not, happened at a period of time we were not bringing a Karban Omer yet. A Karban Omer only became a Karban that we bring to Hashem only once we entered Eretz Israel and we settled Eretz Israel and we then were able to harvest the crop of barley from the land site of Eretz Israel, from that specific vegetation of barley that grew in Eretz Israel. We processed the carbon mincha, the carbon aimer, brought it as a carbon at that time, not in the base of Migdash yet, but in the Mishkan, which was the pre-base of Migdash entity. So the actual carbon oma phenomenon did not become a halachic reality and a real mitzvah to bring this carbon until we entered Eretz Israel. So the initial Omer counting had nothing to do with an actual carbon. It was a dating process to know from what time in Pesach Yeshua's going to take place. What's the period of time? That's the calendar dating of this. And therefore the sphera was a sphera to count how many days we have until we're going to have Hashem talk to us, give us the Ten Commandments, the Aseret Sedibros, and let Moshe mekabel the Torah for us and transfer the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Moshe kibbutz Torah misina, the Mishnah says, in Pirkei Avos. And what would he do once he was mekabel it? Nasna, he gave it over to the Jewish people. First Mishnah, Pirkei Avos. So, says upon this, the Ran, that we therefore see that this counting was a counting to connect the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim with Kabbalah Satira. And in fact, the Sefer Chinuch, when he enumerates the mitzvah counting Sefiras Omer in his Sefer Chinuch, he says one of the major purposes of counting Sefira is to figure out how many days we still have left between now and the Zechus of having Shavuos take place and re-experiencing Maimon Har Sinai and Kabbalah Satira that took place at that point in time. It's for the purpose of to know when Kabbalah Satira is going to happen this year and each and every year. That seemed to be the purpose of the counting that Klal Yisrael did. When they left Mitzrayim, it surely had nothing to do with the Korban Omer.
You are listening to
Ben's Torah. But it seems, for whatever reason, I'll explain very shortly, once we had the Korban Omer being instituted, the mitzvah seer was then called the mitzvah of Sefiras HaOmer. Why was it called the mitzvah Sefiras HaOmer? Because since the Korban Omer brought from the brand new barley crop, which was harvested right after the beginning of the Yom Tov of Pesach on the night of the 16th, that's when the harvesting of the actually barley takes place. It's processed and brought as a korban mincha on the day of the 16th of Chodesh Nisan. We had a base to meet this. That's exactly what we did as well. The Sefira is therefore counted on the night of the 16th, which was the time that they harvested the barley to make the Korban Omer. So since the counting coincides with the night in which the actual harvesting of the Omer Tefuah barley was harvested, the beginning process which ultimately ended up in bringing the Korban Omer, it was then called the mitzvah of Sefira HaOmer, which is the mitzvah of counting, which begins from the time the Korban Omer is harvested and manufactured. From that moment on, we're counting now the 49 days, and day 50 is, as the Torah says, is going to be the Yom Tov Shavuos, the commemoration and the reliving of Maimon Har Sinai. So that's how it became called Sefiras HaOmer. But in actuality, the counting itself is a counting to connect Yetzias Mitzrayim with Kabbalah Satira. The reason I'm saying this is because there's a big debate in Halacha whether Sefira Bizman Hazeh is Min HaTorah or is only maybe the Rabbanan. It's a machlokas Amorayim in the Gemara. Later on, a machlokas Rishonim. Later on, a machlokas Poskim. For many, many years, the Poskim felt that the majority of Rishonim seemed to hold that since Bizman Hazeh, we don't have a Korban Omer yet, until we have the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the reinstitution of bringing Korbanos, including the Korban Omer. If there's no Korban Omer, we call the mitzvah Sefiras HaOmer, then the counting that seemed to be biblically connected to the Korban, if the Korban's not taking place, the Sefira should not be on a Daraisa level. And there's a good group of Rishonim and Poskim that held that way. In fact, the way the Shulchan Aruch is written, dealing with the Sefiras HaOmer, it seems to imply, in Simen Tov Feites, that Rav Yosef Karo and many of the poskim of that generation looked upon Sefiras HaOmer as a Devabanan, a Zeich LaMikdash, which in Golis it is. One day will be a Daraith again when the Beis HaMikdash is built, and we'll have the bringing the Korban Omer. But what's interesting to note, as the Chafetz Chaim points out, a lot of Rishonim disagreed. And amongst them, you had the great Rambam, Maimonides. He, the Malachus Gedolos, and many other Rishonim that the Chafetz Chaim in his Bi'ah Halacha says in Shulchan Aruch and Tav Pei Tes, where he had a very, very voluminous library, tremendous kisfayad of Rishonim and Poskim that many of the other Gedolim in Torah around the world did not possess. And when he started doing a very in-depth analysis, he says in the Bi'ah Halacha, of how many Rishonim hold like the Rambam and the Bahak, that Sfiras Amir Bizman Hazet is a deraisa, he was simply amazed. And he was so amazed that he said that, in my humble opinion, Bizman Hazet, we should be careful with Sfiras Amir and treat it not just as a Devabanon, as a Zechel Amidosh, we should really treat it as a deraisa, like the Rambam and all the other Rishonim that I found that agree with the Rambam hold, because in his mind it's a really a Sufik deraisa, and it should maybe actually be looked upon as a deraisa, and the chumras of it being a deraisa should be in fact superimposed upon the mitzvah of counting the Omer. There's no question Rav Chaim of Brisk and his mishpacha, who are big and Rambam, looked upon it as a deraisa. Zalomdis of Rav Chaim about why he's still a deraisa bizman hazeh. So if that's the case, what I want to share with you today is not what Rav Chaim says, that's for a different time, but to share with you what the Aruch HaShulchan says in his Perish the Shulchan Aruch, of why he feels today it's still a deraisa, and why men and women are so meticulous to count it each and every period between Pesach and Shavuos, even when we have no Beis HaMikdash, no Kabbalas being brought. What's the reason of counting Sfiras Omer? So listen very carefully. What they point out is that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, we had a gula take place. The Torah tells us, Yecheskel mentions it, and Chazal emphasize that Klal Yisrael needed two major zechuyot to be zocha for Yetzias Mitzrayim, because unfortunately, as the Malach himself said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Halala Ode Avodizara, Halala Ode Avodizara, the Jews were culturally, religiously, very involved with the idolatry of Egypt, as much as the Mitzrayim were, because they did not listen to Yaakov and Yosef to stay in Goshen. They moved into the metropolis of Egypt, living close by to Egyptians on all sides. A lot of assimilation and acculturation took place, even though they tried to preserve their Yiddishkeit. They started to slacken because of assimilation, even the mitzvah Bris Milah was forsaken by the overwhelming majority of the Jews, because they thought eliminate anti-Semitism by being similar in their body form as their Egyptian neighbors. The irony is, it didn't work, it backfired. The more they assimilated and acculturated, Chazal tell us, the more difficult the Sheba to Mitzrayim took place, the greater anti-Semitism grew, but that's a separate topic in its own right. But one thing's for sure, what allowed them to be redeemed on the day and night of the 15th were two mitzvahs they did before they left Mitzrayim. One is the circumcision of all the members of Klal Yisrael who were not circumcised. The only Shevet that circumcised themselves for the whole 210 years of Mitzrayim was Shevet Levi. Most of the other Shvatim, overwhelming majority, did not, for reasons I'm not going into now. But Hashem said, if I give you a mitzvah, the Karban Pesach, that's all going to be on the night of the 15th. There's a halakha written in Pasha's bow. Kol Aro Lo Yochel Bo. If you're not circumcised as a male, you can't eat of the Karban Pesach. So every member of Klal Yisrael had to circumcise themselves before the night of the 15th to be able to partake in the eating of the Karban Pesach. So they therefore had the zechus of doing the great mitzvah a bris milah that's compared to 13 covenants with God, very holy, powerful mitzvah, and they put themselves in sakana, undergoing circumcisions even at advanced ages, even though they know they're going into a hot midbar, no air conditioning, no medicinal facilities for convalescing. Hashem said circumcised, they did, an act of mesiras nefesh. The other act of mesiras nefesh was taking the major deity of Egypt, the Karban Pesach, the sheep, which was the most powerful deity in Egypt at that point in time, both down here as well as astrologically above. And God said on the 15th of Chodesh Nisan at night, when according to the Egyptian religion, their idolatrous religion, the power of this sheep in earth and in heaven is on the highest level possible, what I'm telling you guys to do, and you gals to do, is to slaughter this animal on that night. You're going to have one big suda of lamb chops, roast it, and let the Egyptians know you're taking their god and you're slaughtering, and you're going to have a nice lamb chop barbecue. And show them the disdain you have for this animal. Put the blood outside the doorway. They should see you carried out your threat to kill this specific animal. Don't break its bones when you eat it. Take the full skeletal structure of this lamb, this Paschal lamb, throw it into the street so your Egyptian neighbors to see you carried out what you said God told you to do. We're killing your deity, spilling its blood, showing disdain and disrespect to its skeletal structure, having a feast with its flesh, and nothing's happening to us. This was the Kiddush Hashem mitzvah, Bittul Avodah Zarah, which Klal Yisrael did in the millions, in the eyes of millions, and the whole world heard. We say that God what gave Klal Yisrael the right to leave Egypt? The Mesiras Nefesh are doing Bris Milah before they left, and the Kiddush Hashem and the Mesiras Nefesh of sacrificing the deity of Egypt, the Paschal Lamb, b'mavatal avodah zarah b'damai chayi, through its blood and its desecration, because the Kiddush Shem Shemayim, those are the two mitzvahs gedolos that allowed us the schus of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Gula. But then we had the following problem. We were still enmeshed in the 49 gates of tumah contamination of the assimilation that we acquired in the 210 years in Egypt. As the Malachim says, Halala Avodah Zarah, Halala Avodah Zarah, the Jews are enmeshed in a kedusha of tumah, a sanctity of really contamination of the Paschal Lamb and all that it represents and the deities and the idols of Egypt. If that's the case, we have a problem. How are we going to stand in front of God 40, 50 days later on and mekabel the Torah if you're tainted with the Mem Tesh Sharei Tumah, 49 gates of contamination? So listen what I'm going to tell you now. Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Asher, in his Kesava, his writings, one of the Rishonim, writes that I'm now going to tell you a little secret. The Anani HaKavod, which basically surrounded Klal Yisrael on all six sides and followed them and directed them and protected them in the Midbar from the time they left Egypt to the time they came to Har Sinai, these Anani HaKavod were not only protective devices which illuminated the night for them as well, protected them from beasts and from attacks and everything else, guarded them in the Midbar as a moving vehicle that they were encapsulated in, but the Anani HaKavod were divine clouds of Hashem Shekhinah that had incredible spiritual powers of Kedushas Hashem in them. And what the Mukabalim tell us, Rabbeinu Bechaya quotes, is that the Jews, by counting 49 days, didn't just count days. But they were told that you got to get rid of the Tuma of Mitzrayim, the 49 gates of Tuma. Every one of the 49 days are going to be counting. You got to work up on it. You got to do Tshuva Me'ava. You got to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the problem is it took 210 years to contaminate them. How in the world could they get rid of the Tuma in 49 days? How can you get rid of something that took 210 years to encapsulate you with and 49 days to get rid of it? So says Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Anania covered ended up being the answer. They surrounded Klal Yisrael and served as spiritual boosters to give them powers and capacities to overcome incredible amounts of Tuma and to have the ability in 49 days, each day, to take off one of the sha'ovim of Tuma and replace it with a shard of Kedusha, a gate of holiness, of purification, of re-sanctification, and connectivity to Hashem. If that's what the Anani Kavod did, they served as booster rockets to Klal Yisrael's ability to do this super-duper Shuvah Me'ava, to eradicate the Chet and make Tuma into Kedusha. 49 days it was accomplished. The counting each and every day. Day one, we're removing one shire of Tuma. Day two, we now remove number two. By day 49, they removed the 49th shire of Tuma. And all of them were replaced with Shana of Kedusha. Chazal tell us, on day 50, when Kabbalah Satorah took place, the Gemara in Shabbos, and the Zohar uses the following term, Posak Zuhamasam, the spiritual contamination of Klal Yisrael of 210 years was rectified. They were no longer tamei with the tumas, the spiritual contaminants of Mitzrayim. If you want to know how powerful the Anani Kavod were, the level of Kedusha Klal Yisrael reached is that even the Tuma of the Chet of Adam v'Chava, which when Adam v'Chava were created by Hashem, they had pristine purity, no Tuma whatsoever. What caused Tuma to come into this world was the eating of the Eitz Hadas Tovara. That had contaminated them. By the time they came to HaSinai, even the chet of the eating of the Eitz Hadas HaTovara, the chet of Adam and Chava, was rectified. Pasuk Zuhamasam, all their tuma from the beginning of mankind to that point in time was eradicated from the Jewish people. They were full of Kedusha Vitara on the level of Adam and Chava. That's how powerful the Anani HaKavod were. And the mechanism to accomplish this was the counting of the 49 days between Pesach and between Shavuos. Each day was imbued with the Kedusha of sanctification and purification. And it seems, as the Aruch HaShulchan says, as Rabbeinu Bachya says, that's where we get the concept of counting between Pesach and Shavuos. 49 days, which have really nothing to do with Karbanos per se, but it's a way of reliving the sanctification of the process that Klal Yisrael experienced thousands of years ago from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim to Kabbalas HaTorah. Every year we re-experience this period of time, a re-sanctification, a re-purification, coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by the time we come to day 50, Yom Tov Shavuos, we're mukhem mezumen on a higher spiritual plane to mekabel the Torah anew on each and every Shavuos in a state of pasuk zuhamasam of spiritual purity. Now I'm going to prove my point very quickly. When you go back to the pasuk I quoted before, from Parshas Emor, when it says we have to start counting from the 16th day, we have to start counting the actually 49 days. Tismud l'chamishim yom. It says in that pasuk that this period should be Sheva Shabbosos Tamimus Tiena. 7 perfect weeks. But as the Mefarshim point out, the mitzvah counting the weeks is not derived from the pasuk in Emor. It's derived from the pasuk in the Vayomer A, Perek Tezayin, pasuk Tesen Yud, that says Sheva Shuas Tismula Bochemish Mekama, Lisbar Sheva Shuas, Vizan Chag Lashem Alok, Shuas Chag Lashem Alokecha. We learn the weeks counting from the pasuk in Re'eh. We learn the day counting from the pasuk in Parshas Emor. Why did Hashem put into Emor that the counting of the day should also be called Sheva Shabbosos Tamimus Tiena? Why not Sheva Shvuos? What does Tamimus Tiena mean? So I found later on the Balei Kabbalah quoted by Rav Mecklenburg. It is Sefer Ksava Kabbalah, and he says that the word Shabbos and Tamimos, when it comes to Omer, are critical terms. Shabbos doesn't just mean rest, but it means being in a restful mood, but in a spiritual sense, involved in spiritual perfection. He quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. Shifti bebeis Hashem kol yomei chayai, lachzos b'nei Hashem levakeh be'eicholo. The purpose of Shabbos and of all Shabbosos and all periods that are called Shabbos is spiritual reflection, spiritual elevation, studying the Holy Torah, be mekadish yourself. And therefore, since the period of spheres I just mentioned to you, which we do today, is a reliving of the spiritual purification of Klal Yisrael in the 49 days they counted when they left Mitzrayim. The Torah says they have to be Sheva Shabbosos, times of spiritual reflection. The ultimate goal is we shall reach a level of Tamimus. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, Tom Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. The highest level of devotion and connection to Hashem is when you reach the levels the pasuk says, and Sefer Devarim, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, you should reach a level of Tamimus with Hashem. Chazal tell us that Avram was the Salaf of Ha'yei Tamim. He was the personification of Tamimus kait with the Rabbeinu Shalom. We therefore have alluded in the Pasuk and Parshas Emor that we're not just counting days for calendar purposes to know when Shavuos begins on the 50th day after the counting, but we're counting the 49 days to relive the counting that our forefathers did when we left Egypt, days of spiritual rectification and purification, days of elevation. So by the time we finish counting Sfira, we're Mukhan and Mazun to the Kabbalah the Torah. Once again, we relive the episode of Kabbalah Satara on a microcosmic level. They had a macro level of Kabbalah Satara. At the time it happened historically, we have a micro reliving of it. The same way on the night of Pesach, Chag Liras Atzmo, Kiyotzim in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, they had a macro Tikkun HaNeshama by the say that they made on the 15th at night. When we relive Pesach each and every year on the night of 15th and do the Matzah and the Manga, and we have Kerman Pesach, and we have it, and other mitzvahs, halayla, hagada, we have a micro form of tikkun nefesh, as Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzer brings down in his Kabbalistic Sfarim as well. That is why, even if we don't bring the Omer today, the period of spiritual rectification has not departed from our midst. It still has a tikkun on a devaisa level. It still spiritually uplifts us, purifies us, cleanses us to get ready for Kabbalah Satera. That is why, if you look at the end of counting Sfiras Omer, we say a very, very special tefillah after we count each and every day and week. And what do we say? Let me just read this to you quickly. Ribbono shel olam, atah tzivisonu de Moshe avdecha, lispar Sfiras Omer, you gave us the mitzvah to count. Why do we have to count? to purify ourselves from the tumas. Kamosha kasafta b'tarisecha, svat v'remokas ha-shabbos v'mivachim es oima tenufa, sheva shabbosos temimis tiyana. The Torah says there have to be 7 pure weeks. Abimokas ha-shabbos shviyat tismu chabishim yom. What are we going to accomplish by counting? Kedei shiataru nafshos amcha. Yisum ezumlasi, we shall purify ourselves from the spiritual contaminants. I shall basically speaking be able to rectify during Sfira the tumas and get rid of them. We exactly say that in that tefillah. People say the tefillah, they don't realize what they're saying. Sfira is the vehicle of purification we have for 49 days every year, to raise ourselves from what we are during the year, get rid of all the klipos, the tumos, 49 sharm of tumas around us, and bring us to a level of pristine purity on the Yom Tov Yeshuas, as Klaisel did then. That's a deraisa concept. That's never bottle. The symbolism of having a carbon omer brought at the time of the beginning of Sfira. And at the end of Sfira, we have Shuas, we bring a carbon for the carbon of the Shnei Lechem, we bring on Shuas. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, and we'll finish with this. Malachal b'nei Adam is wheat. Human beings usually eat wheat bread. Barley products, at least at that time, was animal food. Animal food. Michael Behema. The symbolism is we're starting Sfira when the barley is emphasized. Barley means we acted with animalistic instincts and taivas during the rest of the year up until now. We contaminated ourselves. We should be eating animal food, barley. Counting 49 days and uplifting ourselves and spiritually rectifying ourselves and elevating ourselves, post that Zul Muslim by Shavuos, we bring a carbon made from wheat to show we're now right to be called an Adam, a Ben Adam, a Tzelem Elokim, a Ben Yisrael, Kedushis Israel, a Tzelem Elokim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've erased all the Tumah by the counting of the Sfira, learning, spiritually perfecting ourselves. We have a minute also to learn Pirkei Avos in the 7 weeks. Each Shabbos a different perek, which also helps us purify our midos, the way we think, the way we act, the way we behave between ourselves and our fellow human beings. Spiritual purification, midos purification. That's what Sfira is all about, and that's why the Noshim Sidkanios, who were Pater for the Mitzvah technically, took it upon themselves like the Noshim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because they also want Taras HaNefesh and purification and Tara and perfection of their Midas Tevites. Who is the Isha Shetes Halel? A woman who possesses Yevah Shemayim. That's what the Eishes Chayel tells us. V'yaposke b'chachma Teres Chesa L'shayna. The Noshim Sidkanios were the ones B'shus Noshim Sidkanios Nigalu B'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. They inspired the men to hang in there until the gula took place. If that's the case, that's why Noshim Sidkanios accepted by themselves the mitzvah of Sfiras Ha'emet to relive that experience. They're involved in this period of time very heavily. And if that's the case, that's the makkah for the Noshim Sidkanios of the time of the Magen Avram, the makabel this Aseh Groma mitzvah, and that's the minig bezman hazeh for Noshim Sidkanios, who because of all the Beis Yaakovs and the women schools and seminaries and colleges that teach Torah today, they're on a very high level of Torah knowledge. They want to have this Kedush and Torah spirit applied to them as well, and they count Sfira meticulously. Let's hope and pray that all of Klal Yisrael, Anoshim V'Noshim together, we should count such a Geshmaka intense Spheres on recounting that Kedusha and Tara should encompass us. We should have such spiritual zechuyos on the corporate level that Hashem should send the Mashiach Tzidkenu, the final gula should take place. He should protect us from all the adversaries. We need that now more than ever in world history. We'll be zochem Me'atz Hashem by counting a Geshmaka Sfiras Omer with tremendous kavanah and hishtadlus to make a sheva shavos as tamim as tiyana, and hopefully l'shan haba yishlam habenuya.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.